I want to settle things once and for all this morning. Who gets the most attention on their special day? Moms or dads? All right? So let's take a look at the statistics. Number of people who celebrate Mother's Day, 84.5%. It's pretty good. Number of people who celebrate Father's Day, 76.1%. Okay. Average spending per person in the U.S. for Mother's Day, $162.94. Average spending per person for Father's Day, $113.80. People who give a card to mom, 81.3%. People who give a card to dad, 64.1%. Hate to say it, but the clear winner this morning is mom. Mom. But don't despair, dads. We came out ahead in one category. 43% of dads will get an apparel gift compared to 33% of moms. So guess what? You can enjoy that striped tie again this year. I don't know if you all are aware of this. It was actually news to me as I looked into it, but the first celebration of Mother's Day actually took place at St. Andrew's Methodist Church in Grafton, West Virginia in 1908. It was the result of the efforts of Anna Jarvis to honor her mother, Ann Reeves Jarvis, after her death. You see, her mother had dedicated her life to lowering the infant mortality rate, also ministering or caring for wounded soldiers during the Civil War. So she wanted to honor her mom and really pushed for this day to honor mothers in America. In 1914, President Woodrow Wilson signed a proclamation designating Mother's Day a national holiday to be observed the second Sunday of May. It's kind of interesting, though, that years later, Anna Jarvis came to resent Mother's Day because it was so commercialized and actually protested the holiday. So just a small piece of West Virginia history this morning. Today, we don't want to commercialize Mother's Day in any way. We want today to be a genuine, heartfelt recognition of women and of mothers. Now, I feel compelled to recognize that this day can be a very difficult day for some of our congregation. And very likely there are people who are not with us this morning from our church family because it is Mother's Day. Death and infertility, broken relationships, other difficult situations of this life can really cast a shadow over Mother's Day. And the deepest desire of my heart this morning is that everyone leave here today having been encouraged, having been challenged by the Word of God. So I'd like to spend our time today focusing on the life of a woman in the Scriptures who's mentioned just a few different times. We're going to be studying in Exodus chapter 2, and really the first few chapters of Exodus are a continuation of Genesis. You might remember we just wrapped up our series on the life of Joseph. And we're just continuing on in that narrative, in that story, right on into Exodus. You saw in Joseph's life that God was seeing two things. Now in Egypt, God is still seeing two things for His people as they live there. If you recall, Joseph, he was sold into slavery because his brothers hated him. God saw to it that he rose in power and became second in command in all of Egypt. It was amazing. And his brothers, they intended to harm him, but God intended it for good, to save many lives. And Joseph, after his death, his family begins to grow, and God is keeping that covenant promise to Abraham. I will make you a great nation. I will bless all peoples of the world through you. So a family of 70 that left Canaan and went into Egypt has now grown to a family of 2 million. Amazing growth among the people of Israel. But when God made that covenant with Abraham, He also revealed that there would be a time of mistreatment as slaves, a time of oppression, 400 years for Abraham's descendants. So the Bible says in Exodus chapter 1 that there was a new king, one to whom Joseph meant nothing. And that king came to power in Egypt. And that massive group of Hebrew people living in Egypt were considered a threat to national security. Certainly if a foreign people invaded the land, they would quickly join with them to defeat the Egyptians. They were also an economic asset. So that is how this new king viewed the Hebrew people there. So he came up with a solution. Forced labor and ruthless oppression for these people in Egypt. The Bible says, though, that the more they were oppressed, the more they did forced labor, the more they multiplied and spread. Amazing how God was blessing in the midst of difficult times. So the king came up with another solution. He commanded every Hebrew midwife that if a Hebrew son was born, that son was to be immediately killed upon delivery. Now the Hebrew midwives recognized quickly that murder is sin. Murder is wrong. And they would not obey that command. They recognized that these children were a gift from God. Blatantly disobeyed. They really did what all of us are still called upon to do today. They feared God, the King of Kings, more than they feared the King of Egypt. And God blessed them. He blessed their faith. That was a courageous thing to do. God blessed them and even gave them children of their own and families of their own. So the number of Israelites just continues to rapidly increase. The king's compelled to find yet another solution. So what he does is says, not just the Hebrew midwives, but every subject in my kingdom is to keep an eye out for Hebrew baby boys and to throw them into the Nile River and have them all killed. And it's amazing here that God is at work even in the midst of difficult days of despair. And then enter Jochebed, our character we want to focus on this morning, a woman of faith, the mother of Moses. Times of despair and distress, but God is seeing two things. So please turn with me, Exodus chapter 2 and verses 1 through 10. And we're going to discover a very important truth this morning. For moms, yes, but for all women, even some truths for men this morning. Again, I hope you leave here challenged. The truth is this, making disciples requires great faith. Making disciples requires great faith. I want to share with you five marks of women of faith. Five marks of women of faith. First, women of faith hope. They hope. Look with me, Exodus chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2. Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. So there's a glimmer of hope in the midst of darkness and despair in Egypt. Numbers 26:59 reveals that the man and the woman are Amram and Jochebed, the father and the mother of Moses. They already have two children, the eldest, Miriam, and also Aaron, who is 3 years older than Moses. And just imagine the emotions of Jochebed during this time. Think about it. That first kick and the excitement of the baby kicking in the womb. And then suddenly the overwhelming sense of dread because of this death sentence hanging over the child if it's a boy. She's laboring in the brickyard and begins to daydream about one day who this child might become. And that daydreaming is interrupted by the hateful stare of an informant of the king. The anxiety of the first labor pains. The fear mixed with joy when she first hears those words, "It's a boy, it's a boy." Then the impossible task of keeping a newborn quiet in the midnight hours. Amram and Jochebed, during those 3 months, did everything they could do to protect and to hide Moses. And notice in verse 2, Jochebed saw that he was a fine child. He was a fine child. Jochebed was a woman of faith here. She hoped. Hoped during times of slavery. She hoped during times of infanticide. And the writer of Hebrews commends both Jochebed and her husband for their faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. This was no ordinary child. This was a fine child. Certainly, Jochebed recognized that God was going to do something very, very special through her son. And I think about our days here in America, our culture. We live in a very difficult day to raise children, don't we? We live in a culture where right is wrong and wrong is right. We live in this culture that promotes violence and promotes sex and promotes drugs. But as I think about it, just as God had a special purpose for Moses in the midst of a wicked generation, He has a special purpose for every child. Every child is a fine child. Every child is no ordinary child. We need a generation of women who will hope. Who will hope. Hope that God is going to do something incredible. Something extraordinary through their families. It's been said that the destinies of nations are fashioned on the laps of mothers. That is so true. So very true. So I urge you, mothers, hope. Hope. Your child is a fine child. Your child is no ordinary child. God has great plans for that daughter or son. D.L. Moody used to tell the story of a man who enlisted to serve in the Mexican War. And his mother was deeply desirous that he come to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. So she prayed for him and she pled with him, but he would not listen. And then that day came when he was to depart to join the military, to go off and to serve. And his mother took out a watch and said this. She said, "My son, your father left this to me when he died. Take it. And I want you to remember that every day at 12 o'clock, your mother will be praying for you." The son took that watch, and his mother also gave him a Bible. She marked some passages in that Bible, put some references in the flyleaf of the Bible, and he took them just because his mother gave them to him, but he had no intention of ever reading that Bible. Listen to the words, his own words describing what happened next. "I went off to Mexico, and one day while on a long, weary march, I took out my watch. It was 12 o'clock. I'd been gone 4 months, and I remembered that my mother, at that hour, was praying for me. Something prompted me to ask the officer to relieve me for a little while. I stepped behind a tree out on those plains of Mexico, and I cried to the God of my mother to save me." And God did. God miraculously saved this young man. And after the Mexican War ended, he made this declaration, "I've enlisted again to see if I can do any good for my master's cause." Hope. Hope mingled with prayer resulted in the salvation and the service of this dear woman's son. And I urge you, do the same. Hope. And pray for your children. Pray that they'll come into a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Pray that they'll walk with God all the days of their lives. Pray for that future spouse. Pray for that vocation. Pray for God to be at work in their hearts so that they'll live out their lives to His glory. So not only do women of faith hope, but women of faith also act. They act. Look at verse 3. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. Genuine faith is active. Women of faith act. The day came where Jochebed could no longer hide this child. It was absolutely impossible. So she carefully constructs a watertight papyrus basket and gently places Moses in it and then places it safely among the reeds, a place where women would commonly come to bathe. And though Jochebed is very, very careful in the story, her faith called her to do something risky. It called her to do something that took great courage. And as I look out around this auditorium, I see some courageous women in our midst. I see women who day after day after day you have sacrificed for the well-being of your children. I see women who, though they're not able to conceive, they've taken that courageous step to foster children or to adopt children and take them into their homes, become mothers. Women with unbelieving husbands who at all costs will be sure that their children sit under the teaching of God's Word. That takes courage. That takes great courage. And single women who have dedicated their entire lives to serving people, serving children, serving women, serving all of those people all around them all the time. Praise God for courageous women who act. Genuine women of faith, they will act. And I want to say this, mothers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers, every single woman here today, the greatest act you can ever perform for the eternal well-being of any soul is discipleship. Discipleship as described in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. As Matthew puts it, as you go, make disciples. Discipleship is so very important, and it all begins with a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. We've got a problem. Every single one of us, we have a sin problem that separates us from a holy God. But the Bible says, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves, not by works, so that no one can boast. I'll be very clear this morning. Being a great mom or a great dad, being a faithful church member, an upstanding citizen, a generous person, none of those things can overcome the gravity of sin in your life. You need a Savior. You need Jesus Christ to step in, the one who lived a perfect life, the one who died a perfect death to pay the penalty of your sin, the one who rose again victorious over sin, death, and the grave. You need a Savior. The Bible says He Himself, Jesus, bore our sins in His body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. So that journey of disciple making, it begins with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Then it's only by God's grace that you can love God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And then women, as you live that life of unreserved, unwavering commitment to Christ, you impress that upon your children. You teach it to them. You impress it on all the people who are around you. You teach them to obey the Word of God by your Word, also by your example in life. So you make disciples as you go about your daily life, inside the home and outside the home. From sunrise to sunset, in all areas of life, you are impressing truth in the lives of those around you. To every woman who knows Christ, every woman who loves Christ deeply has a ministry of discipleship. Doesn't matter what part of life you're in, what circumstances are happening, you have a ministry of discipleship. And I want to encourage you, in just a few weeks from now, we're going to be starting the process of launching an important women's ministry here at Johnston Chapel. A much needed ministry of discipleship for our women here. And I want to encourage you, be praying about that. Be praying about how God might use you, what role you might play in that important ministry. And I know all of our women in this service are not older women, but we have more older women in this service than our next service. Be praying about that, how God might use you in the life of another woman here at Johnston Chapel to help her to grow, to teach her about life, to teach her to be a mom, to be a woman of faith. So be praying about that, please, in the days ahead. So women of faith, they hope and they act. The third mark is this: women of faith wait. So by God's grace, you do all that you can do and you pour into your children, and then you wait for God to move. You wait for Him to move in their lives. Look at verse 4 with me, Exodus chapter 2. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. So Jochebed's very careful here. She sends Miriam, Moses' sister, to watch that basket and to wait for God to act on behalf of that baby. And I find it very interesting here. In our whole narrative, none of the characters' names are mentioned. No name for Moses' father. No name for Moses' mother. No name for Moses' sister. No name for Pharaoh's daughter, a very important princess in the world at that time. No names are given. It's not coincidental. Think about that. Isn't that motherhood? Serving in the silence? So many times all that you're doing goes unnoticed. I read an interesting survey involving 1,000 moms. That survey revealed that moms are the most quizzed people on the earth. All right? The average mom faces one question every 2 minutes and 36 seconds. You know what that adds up to in a year? More than 105,000 questions. You poor mothers out there. Us dads don't have the answers anyways, so I don't know how many questions we get. 4-year-old girls, they're the most curious. They ask a whopping 390 questions a day. Wow. And then on the other end of the spectrum, the 9-year-old boy, my son Ben, they ask the least amount of questions in a day. And as I thought about that, I was also reading about another woman and her thoughts concerning Mother's Day. Here's what she said. I need to hear that my role as a mom to young children is hard, valuable, kingdom work. Remind me that my unseen sacrifices and struggles are seen and valued by the Lord. I often feel undervalued, misunderstood, and looked over by a culture that applauds outward and visible contributions to society. So much of my work as a mother is hidden away in the unseen moments of grace with my children. I sacrifice and struggle because of love, and loving others is kingdom work. I want to challenge you, husbands, men, sons, and daughters. Moms need to hear this. They truly need to hear those words from us. Your work is hard. Your work is valuable. Your work is kingdom work. Your work is not unnoticed. I see it. And more importantly, God sees it. God sees the work that you're doing behind the scenes. So no one here in the narrative is named. This is because God is the primary actor. The spotlight is on Him, as it should be. But let's not forget, God sees, God notices, God honors His kingdom work. That's why we read of Jochebed in Hebrews chapter 11. All the stalwarts of the faith are there. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Jochebed. She's right there in the mix. God honors His kingdom work. Her faith is forever recorded by God there. So I encourage you, invest in your children as kingdom work, then wait. Patiently wait, as difficult as it is. Wait for God to move on their behalf. Women of faith, hope, act, and wait. The fourth mark is this. Women of faith, trust. They trust. Look at verse 5. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. And the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. That is unbelievable. I hope you're following along with me there, but that is absolutely amazing. The very thing that Pharaoh desired to use to destroy Moses and destroy God's people, God uses it for them. He uses it to rescue him. God puts Moses in the Nile to rescue him and to rescue the nation of Israel. The providence of God shines so brightly here in Exodus chapter 2. God seeing the things. That basket, it repels the water. That basket, the wind comes. That current, it is not dislodged from the reeds. The daughter of Pharaoh, the one who gave this command to kill all Hebrew boys, she's bathing at the appointed time. And Moses cries the perfect cry at the perfect time that touches her heart. Miriam, Moses' sister, speaks the perfect words of wisdom in the moment. And then God takes that baby and rescues him. And not only that, returns him to his mother to be nursed. And she gets paid for it. That's incredible. That is the providence of God. Absolutely amazing. His will and purposes will always prevail. He is seeing two things. I want to encourage you this morning. He is trustworthy. He is dependable. Always dependable. Women of faith, trust the providence of God. Think about it. He loves our children so deeply. Much more than we are capable. He knows them intimately. Much more than we are able. He cares for them tenderly, much more than we ever could. He desires to providentially move in their lives with that same precision that He's moving in the life of Moses. And God is at work. He is seeing two things. And I want you to remember, no such thing as a perfect woman. No such thing as a perfect mom. I said it. I know I'm in trouble, but it's the truth. There is no such thing as a perfect woman or mom. You're all going to have shortcomings. You're all going to make mistakes. You're all going to have failures in life. I want to remind you, God is at work redeeming all of it. That's our great God. That's our providential God. Paul reminds us of that in Romans chapter 8. And verse 28, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." Don't forget verse 29, "For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." Always remember this, God is never reacting. He is never reacting. God knows everything. Past, present, future, actual, possible. God knows it all. And He knows it all perfectly well. God knew the type of generation that Moses would be born into. That wicked generation. God knew that a command would go out to throw babies in the Nile and to have them killed. He knew that before the foundation of the world. Think about your life. Those mistakes, those shortcomings and those failures, God knew they would happen before the foundation of the world. And He can take all of that. He can take all of the mess and He can redeem it for His glory. We can trust Him because He's acting on our behalf when we mess it up. And He's acting on behalf of our children to make all of us more like Jesus. We can trust Him. He is acting on our behalf. Women of faith, they hope. And what that hope does is it leads them to take action. And after they've done all that they can do by God's grace, they wait. They wait on God to move. And in the waiting, they trust in God's providence in every circumstance. And then when God reveals His ultimate purpose, women of faith rejoice. They're able to rejoice in all that God is doing. Look at verse 10. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." So I think during that weaning period, likely up to 3 years, maybe even more, Jochebed is investing in her son. Her husband is also there investing. They're both providing a godly nurture, a godly training in his life that will prepare him to answer God's call in the days ahead. Imagine how difficult this was for poor Jochebed, right? To hand her son over to the daughter of Pharaoh to become his son. Imagine the tears shed over that. But still, God is seeing to things in the life of Moses, in the life of Jochebed. He's given this baby, he's given that name Moses. Many think it has both a Hebrew and Egyptian basis. In Hebrew, the name means to draw out, as verse 10 says. In Egyptian, the name means born or son. Actually, a very fitting name for Moses. This baby, one day, will lead the people of Israel out of Egypt, through the Red Sea, and they will become a great nation on the earth. So what a great name given to this baby, Moses. I want to encourage you that when things don't turn out how you would have hoped or dreamed, Jochebed didn't want to hand baby Moses over to the daughter of Pharaoh. That's not what she dreamed for or hoped for. But we can know God is still at work. He's at work in all things. Here, Moses, he's going to grow up in Egypt. He's going to grow up in the palace. He's going to get an education in Egypt in reading, writing, and arithmetic and languages. He's going to learn administration and serve 40 years in Egyptian bureaucracy. God's preparing him. God's preparing the future leader of Israel through his time in Egypt. Now, all of this happened because a woman trusted God with her son. She entrusted this baby boy to God's care. I wonder, have you ever done that? Have you ever consciously and purposefully entrusted your children to the Lord? Let's not ever be confused. They already belong to Him. They're His already. But have you ever done that? Have you ever stopped and recognized that truth that children belong to the Lord and then release them to Him and then encourage them to do whatever it is that God desires to do in their lives, to go wherever God may lead? Now, we all have dreams and aspirations, don't we? We all have dreams and aspirations for our children. The question is this: do they align with God's will? Do they align with God's purposes? And I know you're looking at my last point there, women of faith rejoice, and think, where is the rejoicing in this? This has got to be a broken woman handing her son over. There's got to be so much sorrow here. But turn with me in your Bibles. Let's jump over in our Bibles. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And let's look at verses 23 through 29. Gives us the rest of the story, the big picture of Moses' life. Hebrews 11 and verse 23. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child. They were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. So Moses becomes a man. What does he choose in life? He chooses to identify with God, to identify with His people, rather than a lucrative career in Egypt. He is case in point on my earlier quote, "The destinies of nations are fashioned on the laps of mothers." Four times in reference to Moses, we read those words, "By faith." By faith, Moses. He became a great man of faith. Why? Because of a great woman of faith, his mother, Jochebed. The great hymn writer Charles Wesley once said this, "I learned more about God from my mother than from all the theologians in England." That songbook is full of hymns written by Charles Wesley, a great man of faith with a great mother of faith. So women of faith, they rejoice. They rejoice when they see God accomplishing His will and His purposes in this world through their family. So Jochebed, she's only mentioned a few times in the Bible, but one of those references, it's in the Hall of Faith, Hebrews chapter 11. That is significant. Making disciples requires great faith. And in the life of Jochebed, Exodus chapter 2, we see those five marks. Women of faith, hope. Women of faith, act. Women of faith, wait. Women of faith, trust. And then they rejoice when God moves. You know, becoming a woman of faith, it's a journey. You never, ever arrive. There's always something more to learn. There's always another person to invest your life in. It's a lifelong journey. You never grow too old for discipleship. So very important. So in the moments when you're overwhelmed and you're stressed and you get discouraged with the task, I want you to remember, discipleship is a partnership. It is. It's a partnership. It's not all up to you. By God's grace, in His providence and in His power, He's right there, walking the journey alongside you as you go about making disciples. In closing, let me share with you some myths of motherhood, and we'll be done this morning. Somebody said that a child is carried in its mother's womb for 9 months. Somebody doesn't know that a child is carried in a mother's heart forever. Somebody said it takes about 6 weeks to get back to normal after you've had a baby. Somebody doesn't know that once you're a mother, normal is history. Somebody said you learn how to be a mother by instinct. Somebody never took a 3-year-old shopping. Somebody said being a mother is boring. Somebody never rode in a car driven by a teenager with a driver's permit. Somebody said good mothers never raise their voices. Somebody never came out the back door just in time to see her child hit a golf ball through the neighbor's kitchen window. Somebody said you don't need an education to be a mother. Somebody never helped a 4th grader with his math. Somebody said you can't love the 5th child as much as you love the 1st. Somebody doesn't have 5 children. Somebody said, A mother can find all the answers to her child-rearing questions in the books. Somebody never had a child stuff beans up her nose. We've all been there, haven't we? Somebody said the hardest part of being a mother is labor and delivery. Somebody never watched her baby get on the bus for the first day of kindergarten. Somebody said a mother's job is done when her last child leaves home. Somebody never had grandchildren. Somebody said, your mother knows you love her, so you don't need to tell her. Somebody isn't a mother. I hope we'll spend today, every day really, not just today. Let's not commercialize this thing, right? Let's spend every day honoring the women in our lives. They deserve it. They deserve it. Take time to tell that woman in your life how much you love her, that her work does not go unnoticed, how special she is, how much you appreciate her today. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for all these women of faith in our midst today. Women are a perfect gift from above, a gift from you. Thank you. Thank you for my mom, the investment she made in me. Thank you for Amy, my wife, who pours her heart into our children. Thank you for all these mothers here that love their children so deeply. Thank you for all their children represented here today. I pray that this would be a day where mothers feel loved. They feel valued. They are so important to this church, Father. Thank you for them. This ministry doesn't happen without these women. We praise you. We thank you. Help us to leave here encouraged. I pray for just a blessed day as family, as we celebrate you and we celebrate the gift of our moms. It's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.